Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tonight's episode with someone, with a friend, and if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Guys, listen, you know I'm excited to be here, and I'm so excited to hear. Guys, you know how we like to do it, guys. Before we get started, don't forget to visit our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. There it is, right there on your screen. And guys, before we get started, you know how I like to do it. I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, this week's episode is going to be an exciting one, and it's going to be one that you don't want to miss. You're going to want to sit right back and catch it. Thank you, everybody. Come on in. Thank you for joining. Oh, I'm so happy that you decided to come here this Thursday afternoon, this Thursday evening, and listen to TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. I'm happy that you are all here, and whether you are right now in the UK listening, or maybe you're in Canada, or maybe you're in the Philippines or Vietnam, or maybe you're in France, or maybe you just happen to be in Japan, wherever you are listening to the show, I'm so glad that you are. Guys, if this is your very first time hearing my voice, your very first time listening to the show, let me take this moment in time to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that you decided to tune into the show. And you said, well, Travis, I've been listening to the show, man, for the 4 years that you've been streaming. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're still here. Guys, listen, everybody knows that this show is all about finding ways to be motivated in our everyday life. So, guys, if you have an inspiring story that you would like to share and maybe come on the show, drop us an email. That's right. Drop us an email. That's TELLMeSomething21@gmail.com. And say, well, Travis, I know someone that has an inspiring story, but I don't want to come on the show. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Drop us their email anyhow at TELLMeSomething21@gmail.com. And you can even remain anonymous if you like. Guys, I have a few affiliate sponsors. I'm going to play their information. Once I play their information, guys, we're going to get underway. And once we do that, we are going to be rocking and rolling. Guys, stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. We're going to be right back for this information, guys. We're going to be going nowhere. We're still here.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
By Amazon. Amazon is the world's largest online retail store. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething,
AMZN for Amazon. With Amazon, you could spend less and smile more. Please visit one of our online sponsors today. There it is, guys. Please visit one of our online sponsors. I like to shop. I know I do. Yeah, I'm married. So, you know, yes, my wife likes to shop too. Please visit one of our online sponsors, guys. The information is right there in the chat. And also, if you're watching this right now, you can see it in the chat, or you can listen. But if you're watching, you listen to this later on, don't forget, you guys, the information's in the video. So please do that. Guys, listen, I told you today's episode is going to be an amazing one. It's going to be absolutely great. It's something that we all can benefit from, as always, here on TMG. Guys, if you did not get a chance to catch it, today's episode, guys, is entitled One of a Kind. Yeah, one of a kind. Yeah, typically when you think about something that's being one of a kind, you think of something that's unique, it stands out, and it kind of catches your attention. And I know you want to know, where are we going to go with that? Man, for many of us, we've heard either our parents or our grandparents or maybe a teacher try to impart in us the what it's like that being kind is important. Is it establishing good relationships? Being kind is very important. And whether this lesson came from a teacher or a parent, we've heard all our lives that try to impart in us that being kind is important, establishing good relationships with others. In today's rapidly changing society, small important lessons like being kind sometimes goes overlooked. Yeah, it seems like it's an afterthought, like it's not that important. And being kind can often become an afterthought. But there's so many benefits to just being kind. And not just for others, but also for ourselves. Yeah, it helps us to be kind. In today's world, being kind, where people seem to look at you and scowl at you, they'd rather growl at you than be kind. They'll throw a rock at you before they be kind. In today's world of technology and AI, it just seems that being kind doesn't seem like it's worth it sometimes. It seems like it's valuable. And it just doesn't seem like it. In today's world, being kind can be viewed more as a liability. Guys, our special guest today is a world-renowned teacher on the practical applications and benefits of kindness. He travels all over the globe teaching others what it means just to be kind. Guys, give a huge TMG welcome to our very special guest today, Alan Cuesta. And guys, he's not even here in the United States. Alan, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Are you kidding me, Alan? I'm on 9.5 right now, not on 10 just yet.
That's good.
It is good to have you here, Alan. I'm so excited. Well, I got to ask this question. I know you travel everywhere. I know you. Guys, Alan is everywhere. And when I tell you TMG is heard everywhere, where are you right now, Alan?
Right now I'm in France. I was just in Brussels, and then I'm going to Switzerland. And then later I'm going to Taiwan.
Jeez. When I told you that TMG is all over the world, I wasn't making it up. I'm telling you, man. He's in France. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. And wherever you are listening to this, you are global right now. Yeah, you're international. Guys, real quick. If you look behind me, you see that it's Black History Month. And February is Black History Month. And guys, I want to tell everybody this. You were born, you were created for something special. You were made to impact the world and generation behind you. People may make you feel like you are an afterthought, like you don't matter. But let me help you understand something. The world got better the day you were born. Yeah, I want you to understand that. It got better before you said mommy and daddy, before you took your step, before you wrote your name. The world the day Adam here.
I love what you're saying. You know why?
Why?
Because what I hear in what you're saying is that we're all here for a reason, and we can all find a mission to be here to improve the world.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why Alan is here. I love that, Alan. You're absolutely right. We are. Absolutely, man. Guys, Alan, when you and I spoke previously, you mentioned that what you do carries you around the globe. And as we can see, Brussels, France, Taiwan, everywhere. Do you mind briefly letting everyone know a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, so there's a number of things. First thing is, I think my fundamental job everywhere I go in any context is to help people like themselves more.
Wow.
And I do that, I've learned to do that and have the ability to discover more about that in my full-time work, which is teaching the Feldenkrais Method, which is a movement technique that's based on learning theories. Mm-hmm. And I work with people with orthopedic problems, neurological problems, professional athletes, dancers, actors, singers, and anyone who wants to improve some ability in their life and have a change in their self-image. And it's through that I really found the means to understand what it means to like ourselves more. And then from there, making the bridge to acts of kindness and how they inform each other.
Wow. Yeah. So you have a wide range of individuals that you're speaking with on this topic. It's not just one group. You're speaking to all walks of life.
Yeah. All walks of life.
But what that tells me is this, Alan. This whole notion and applications and practical applications of being kind impacts us all.
Yeah. It impacts us all. And I would even go further and say it's fundamental to us all.
Oh, wow.
It's an essential aspect of what it means to be a human being. And we all do it, fortunately, to some degree, but I think we can all get better, including myself.
That's good because typically, Alan, and from your research, there's always, this abstract idea of kindness. This be kind is some kind of abstract idea. Be kind. Your parents teach you that. You learn it from your teacher or whoever. But there are things that we can actually do. And as we were saying, it impacts everybody, no matter what neighborhood you live in, no matter what your address is. Your address could be there in France, it could be in Taiwan, but it is something that can be felt, tangibly felt all over the world, and it impacts everyone. And if we think for one moment that, well, I don't need to be more kind, that's when we've missed it. That's when we missed it, Alan. Oh, I'm kind enough. That's when we missed it, because it's not just the world can benefit from more kindness. We can as individuals.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about, guys. This is what I mean, how important this show is, because we're going to see some real practical applications how to do this. Exactly what inspired or motivated you to be teaching on the practical need for kindness, as you said, the fundamentals.
Well, there were kind of two things that led me here. One was, as I mentioned before, this idea of liking ourselves more. And what I found one day, I just did a simple act of kindness. And the next moment, I liked myself more. And I thought, oh, that's the connection. Every time I do an act of kindness, I feel better about myself. And I'm not suggesting that we just do acts of kindness so we can pat ourselves on the back and say I'm a good guy or something like that. But that an act of kindness connects us more with ourselves and more with the world. And the other thing was something that was completely unexpected for me. A number of years ago, my father, he had run out of money. And fortunately, my brother and I were able to help him out and support him. And then he developed dementia. And at some point, we finally had to put him in a home. And it was in Florida where he was living with my stepmother. And the summer was coming. And I just thought, she's going back to New York. He's going to be all alone. And there's going to be no one there to visit him, have any connection with him. So, and I have to be honest, I was never really close to my father. We didn't have a bad relationship, but, you know, it was infrequent, if anything. And then I got it in my head to call him every day, just so he had some sense of connection. And for 3 years, I called my dad every day. And luckily, he knew who I was still. Sometimes he only talked gibberish, but that became a regular practice of mine. And it wasn't during it that I thought this, but sometime after he passed, that I finally started to see that that was a very deep practice and act of kindness. And even today, I have some both older friends and younger friends who I stay in connection with, not every day, but once a month, every few weeks. And I talk to them and really spend some time with them. And I find that that practice of connecting with someone like that is probably, again, one of the more basic needs for all of us.
Wow. Guys, I want you to listen to what he said. First of all, we're sorry your father had experienced dementia. But you mentioned something in that, Alan. You said you just started off just a simple act of kindness.
It's not because you're trying to win brownie points.
And this is what we have to understand. We're not talking about doing something so you can win these brownie points, so to speak. And you kind of walk around and boast and brag. I'm a kind person. I do this. Kindness is one of those things that you don't have to talk about. It speaks for itself.
Right. You don't need to speak up for kindness.
Right. Kindness has a voice of its own.
And the whole, speak loudly. The whole idea of kindness that you were saying, it's like, you know, when we talk about humility, people say that you can't say that I'm humble. Someone else says you have humility. And kindness is the same thing. If you think you're kind, great. But it's really when others talk about you and say, oh, that's a kind guy. But I know people who thought of that way, but still don't think of themselves that way. And I know people who think they're very kind, and others don't think of them that way.
And that's a great way to put that, Alan. Humbleness and kindness, they talk very well. They speak every language, whether they speak French or whether they speak Chinese. It goes from generation to generation, it crosses all racial boundaries, it crosses all geographical boundaries. It doesn't matter where you live in any part of the world, kindness speaks your language.
Right. Yeah.
So that's just for this person. That's just for these people. No. Kindness speaks every kind of language. It doesn't matter where you are, every one of us can benefit from acts of kindness, and true acts of kindness. You don't have to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
You mentioned something though, Alan, that we were talking about before. You said that when you had this simple act of kindness, it made you feel connected more. But you said it also made you like yourself more.
And I know we're not going to dive real deep in it.
I'm going to bring Alan back to that one. But Alan, we got you, man.
That's good. I'm ready.
But everything starts right there, doesn't it? Liking ourselves more.
Yeah. I think that, you know, if you look at kids, for the most part, they like themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's when they start interacting and comparing themselves to others that they lose that. And their sense of liking themselves is internally generated. It's not like us as adults where it's dependent on the things we buy or the partners we have, the haircut we have, stuff like that. And so, and just like I said, that kindness, I think, is one of the more fundamental aspects of what it means to be a human being. Mm-hmm. I think for each individual, liking ourselves more is fundamental to almost everything we do. If you think
about it,
people listening to this podcast or taking a yoga class or studying a musical instrument, part of the outcome of that, all of those things, is that as we improve, as we learn more, we start to appreciate and like ourselves more.
Absolutely.
So I see it as part of everything, really.
Wow. That is so right. Children automatically like themselves more. They automatically like themselves. They automatically are happy. And I think about my grandson. When he sees us, he runs and hugs us, and he's running around the house, happy, laughing. And then as an adult, we have to find reasons to be happy.
This kid doesn't need a reason.
He finds a reason to like himself and be happy. And as adults, we get away from that. We get away from that. And I think part of that, Alan, is what you said. We begin so bogged down with things that we forget to be kind first to ourselves and as well to others.
Definitely.
And we lose that connection with everything around us because we're not as kind. We lose that connection with society, with the community, with people, and things kind of spiral from there. And when we look at the news and go, well, why did this person do this? How could they have done that? And it began with, do they really like themselves enough to continue in that kind of behavior? Do they like themselves enough to do that, the things and people around them?
I think the whole action of liking ourselves more, and I actually start from a very simple place with the assumption that people already are kind.
So, in my book,
I don't start talking about here's how you can be kinder. I'm saying, let's see where you already are kind and let's build it.
That's good, because
that's where we all start out. There always, even if we don't think we're kind, there's got to be some small place in each of us.
Of course, we can go,
yeah, I guess I am kind there. And then from there, how do I want to grow it? And what I just said, the word want is the most significant part of it. I have to want it. Right. I have to want to be kinder. And then the question is, how do I go about developing that? Because kindness is a huge thing. And even in the dictionary, if you read the definition of kindness, it tells you all of these ideas about kindness that are worthwhile. But it never tells you how to be kind.
How to do it.
How to practice it. How to become more kind. How to generate it. And you know, when we talked about being kind to ourselves, so here's something for me that was a surprise for me. When I was writing the book, I got to the part about being kind to ourselves, and I got blocked for about 5 years.
What?
Yeah, I was like, I thought I knew something about that. And then I was like, I think I have a lot to learn here about being kind to myself. It's easier to be kind to someone else for most people than to be kind to themselves.
Wait, hold on. You said a mouthful with that, Alan. you know, because most of us typically are quick to be kind to someone else, usually. And we will neglect being kind to ourselves. We'll think it's selfish, we'll think it's not good etiquette, we'll think all these things. But guys, I want to tell you this real quick. Look at me right here, real quick, everybody. Eyeball to eyeball. And if you're not watching this, listen really carefully. It's okay to be kind to yourself. I know someone may have told you that it's selfish, that you shouldn't do that. Look at me close, eyeball to eyeball. It's okay to be kind to yourself. Alan, I agree.
I get it, man.
Because for years, sometimes just simple acts of kindness toward ourselves, we feel like, oh, I'm doing too much. People are going to think that I'm a self, I love myself too much. I'm a self-absorbed person. All those types of things. But it's okay to be kind to yourself because it helps. Because that feeling that you have, when you cultivate that feeling, you want someone else to feel that. So that in turn, you start being kind towards others. Not to get brownie points or pats on the back. Because you want that person to feel the way you feel.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And then the question is, like, people, even when they think of being kind to themselves, it's like I was saying before, it's like, well, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
How do I begin being, well, how do I take care of myself better? What can I do? You know, and there are many things. What I'm always interested in is not the ideas about it, but the concrete things that we
can
do.
Look, Alan, typically, when someone thinks about being kind along the terms of an abstract idea, but you're teaching practical way that a person can be kind and in turn like themselves more. What are some of the, let me ask you this question, then. Let's look at it this way. What are some of the psychological benefits of being kind? In other words, how can it help improve a person's mental well-being?
Well, I'm going to take it a step further and maybe backtrack to that. But it's actually been shown in research that kindness helps our physical health as well.
I didn't notice that.
In my book, I refer to another book called The Rabbit Effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because they were doing research with these rabbits. It was terrible research where they were getting their hearts to be all full of fat and corroded and everything. And they had different groups who were being fed the same thing, the same diets, treated the same way, except one group, their heart wasn't getting all messed up and they couldn't figure it out. And they finally realized that one of the technicians who was feeding the rabbits from that group was petting them and talking to them. And those groups didn't have the same effects on their heart as the other groups did. So it's such a clear demonstration that being treated kindly, the health in those rabbits sustained itself in a better way than the ones who weren't being treated kindly. So now, that's a big example. I'm not saying let's just be kind to everyone and everyone's going to be healthy, because we all have different issues and stuff like that.
Right,
it's fascinating. Right. And when we talk about mental health, when we talk about our, so we can talk about someone else's mental health or my mental health. So for someone else's mental health, you know what? Sometimes we're kind to someone and they're a little suspicious of it. They're like,
what do you want?
Right? And they have to learn to feel comfortable, because in giving something, there's also receiving. Those things are tied together, right? Now, for our own mental health, it's very clear that when we do acts of kindness, we feel better. Right?
Exactly.
And so that's it. The moment of feeling better is the absence of all the internal noise that we have in our heads, the absence of all the difficulties we think we're facing. And an act of kindness is a really simple way to promote that kind of health, mental and physical.
Exactly. And what you're saying, when I was researching this, as far as the physical aspects of it, research even shows that it can help blood pressure.
That's amazing.
I'm not saying it's a cure. but it can help manage it because it's lowering everything in our bodies, and that's just amazing how something as simple that we learn at home with our parents or with teachers or whoever, being kind can help us physically, but also help us emotionally and mentally. And you said that it makes us feel better, and I can't stress that enough, because Alan, in life, at the end of the day, when the smoke and mirrors is past, when all the accolades and the titles are gone, when you are at home and you don't have press and you don't have social media at the end of the day, we just want to feel better.
That's right. That's all we're left with.
That's
really all we're left with. Like, you know, I talked about in my book many years ago when I was an actor before I did this other work that I do. And I was in a workshop with my acting teacher, and we had to write down all the different roles that we played. So I was like boyfriend, stepfather, carpenter, actor, and the friend. I had about 10 things. And then we had to order them and leave the most important one at the bottom. And what I was left with was friend. I was surprised. Rather than having a girlfriend, I'd be friends with her. Rather than being a stepfather, I'd be friends. All of that led to that very simple, again, a fundamental idea of who we want to be. And again, if we tick away all the things, if God forbid something happened that we lost all the things we have, what are we left with? We're left with the connection with ourselves
and
the connection with others. That's the most important thing. And that connection is most clearly demonstrated through an act of kindness. I've seen so many homeless people that you give them money and or food, and they go and immediately share it with the other homeless people.
I have too. Absolutely.
It's like, but you take someone who's got a lot of money and you give them some money, they don't start passing it out.
They hold on to it.
Yeah. And the idea of liking ourselves more, if that's all I'm left with. So when I teach my professional training programs, I tell them I'm teaching them three things. So my programs, they're 4 years long, 2 months a year. It's a long commitment. So the first thing, of course, that they're paying for and I'm teaching them is to learn to practice the Feldenkrais method. That's good. And I expect them to go away with that at not just a competent level, a confident level too, enough so they can go and generate it more and more with others. The second thing, but if you didn't learn that and you spent 4 years with me, I can pretty much say you would get to know yourself better, because the way we use movement is a doorway into who we are, knowing ourselves.
Correct.
And then I say, and you know what? If you don't get that, if you end up in 4 years just liking yourself more, I think that's worth everything. I had an experience with a group in Australia where on the graduation, I'd call their name and they'd come up, I'd give them their certificate, and they'd give me a hug. And I can't tell you how many people whispered in my ear, I like myself more.
Wow.
And I went, wow, that for me, that made my job really worthwhile. You know, but that's all of our jobs, right? So that act of kindness helps people. And that means we're all the teachers of each other and how to benefit from these kind of acts and to make the world a little bit of a better place, hopefully.
It's kind of like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know, you throw a rock in a pond or whatever, and it begins to make a ripple. And if you think that ripple doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Ask the fly that's standing on the water that feels the wave. Ask the fish that's swimming underneath that sees the wave. Ask the bird that's perched on the tree limb over the water, watching it, watching to see if there's an insect there to grab it. That ripple matters. In other words, you never know who's watching. You never know who's noticing. Your ripples. You never know who's paying attention to your ripples. We want to be more kind, but we want certain people to notice it. We want certain individuals to notice our. We want certain individuals to notice our ripples.
Right.
When you throw that rock into that pond, and the ripples go out. They go out everywhere. So maybe the person standing on the bank doesn't see it. Maybe the person standing on the beach doesn't see it. But the little bird that's perched on a branch will notice it. Maybe the little child playing will see it. Maybe the person that needs to see it will see it. And a lot of times, Yes, we are all kind. I'm like you, and I do believe that all of us have a fundamental core of kindness in us, because we were all children at once. We're all little kids. We're all 2 years old at once, and we all internally liked ourselves and had that kindness in us. I do believe that. And as we get older, somehow we either don't pay attention to it as much, or things happen. But we want other individuals or certain people to notice how kind we are. And because of that, we say, oh, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to show it anymore. Because and the matter isn't that we can't be kind. We have other issues going on where we just want to be noticed.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole thing about generosity. You know, I mean, there's different kinds of. I give a story in the book where I talk about Goldilocks and the three bears, and I describe different gifts that Goldilocks gives to the three bears. So she gives the youngest bear some socks, but they were socks that someone gave her that she didn't like, so she regifted it. And there's nothing wrong with regifting something at all, right? But who knows if that bear liked the socks, if they were the right size? There wasn't much thought going into it. And then to the papa bear, she gave this huge big screen TV, which she couldn't afford, but she wanted to give him the best gift possible, and thought he would really love that. And of course, probably did love that, but then he's also thinking, oh great, now do I have to give a big gift to her her birthday? And then for the mama bear, she gave this frying pan that she knew the mama bear wanted it, and she couldn't afford more, but she gave her that, and it was exactly the right gift. And you know, in that second version with the big screen TV, that's just giving to get. That's showing how important I am. And I've had, I've had to learn about that myself too, because I tend to be more, by the way, kindness in the dictionary is often equated with being generous, but they're not the same thing.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes it's better not to give something to someone, to withhold something, to say, I'm not going to give you this money because every time I give you money, you misuse it. You do something bad for yourself or for others. So to have tough love is a kind act as well, to be able to say no.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Look, if to say to someone, I'll give you an example. I had a student in a training. Who is making up time from another training. And she was there again and then again. And I said, how much time are you making up? And it was like over a year and a half. And I said, you should have just transferred. So at the third year of my training, which goes 4 years, her time to graduate was, she was qualified for it. And it wasn't up to me. It was up to the educational director of another program. So she graduated, but I went up to her afterwards. I said, can we have a cup of coffee and talk for a bit? And she looked at me and she said, you going to drop a bomb on me? And I said, no, but it's going to be an awkward conversation. And I sat down with her. I said, look, it's not my role to decide if you graduate. That's someone else's role. So I'm not going to interfere with that. And I'm not going to interfere, like I said, but I think you need some honesty about what's going on. I said, I think you could become a great practitioner. But at this point, I don't think you're ready. I think what you need to do is for the next year or two, practice for free. Learn more, understand more. And first she got really angry with me. well, this isn't plan. Your job and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I know, right, I told right, you that. I right. said, but wouldn't you prefer to have an honest voice guiding you? Wow. Than someone who says, yeah, go off. And that's tough love. You know, that's really hard to say something like that to someone, right? And, you know, another aspect of tough love. So, you know, when my mother passed when I was young, uh-huh, and when uh-huh. she was a painter. And when she died, we found all her paint stuff, and she actually destroyed most of her art. There was still some, but there was this letter she wrote to my brother and myself when we were, I don't remember, 8 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And she mm-hmm. talked about beauty and art, and she talked about honesty and truth. And she said, you know, I don't know if it's the best policy to tell someone the truth. She said, if it's going to hurt someone to tell them the truth, don't tell them. But if it's going to hurt you more not to tell the truth, the better you should tell them. So that's kindness to yourself.
Oh, wow.
That's tough, wow. That's tough love to someone else. And when I talk about telling someone the truth or being honest with someone, I'm making a distinction that's not the same thing as criticism. Criticism is just pointing out what's wrong.
Yeah, you're
honesty is being, you know, yeah. Honesty is a clear observation of something in terms of what it's doing to them, maybe, or how it's affecting others around them. And that conversation can only happen if I say to the person, can we have a tough conversation? Because if they say no, okay, nothing to be done about it. I'm not going to push it on them.
Correct. Because then it wouldn't be a tough conversation. Then it would be criticism.
And it wouldn't be very kind either.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Guys, so my brain is like this. It's so much because you draw the distinction between criticism and honest conversations. And a lot of times when we think we're having honest conversations, we're actually having critical conversations where we're critiquing people. We had this checklist before. You don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. And then you go, well, at least I was honest. No, you weren't being honest. That's not being honest. Sitting here and going through all the faults I've done and faults I'm doing. Those aren't observations. Those are things that have gotten on your last nerve and they're bothering you. And you finally get to the point where you're tipping point where you can't take anymore. And now you're just going through this list. But taking the time to say, can we have a tough conversation about some things? And someone say yes. Okay, so now you're prepared. You already know this is going to be a tough conversation. And we can be honest and say, hey, I've observed. You know, certain behaviors.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you because I wouldn't even start with that. Because the minute I say, I observed, I'm telling you what you're doing wrong.
Wrong.
Right? As opposed to saying, for me, when this is part of our interaction, I get upset or I get hurt. And I'm not saying you're upsetting me. It's just me. Now, I have a few choices there. I could just change myself, which is the best place to start.
Right.
Or
right.
I can see that this isn't going to change and just say, okay, we're done. Right. Or to say, I'm doing this so that we can connect more easily. So for me, the connection isn't as clear. So then maybe the person says, well, what am I doing? Then I can say, well, I had a friend, this is a funny story, who he never closed the cap on the toothpaste and would drive his wife crazy. Just crazy. And every time, for years, again, you didn't close the toothpaste. And, you know, she's nagging at him. He's ignoring her. And one day she says to him, how many times am I going to have to tell you to close the toothpaste? And he looked at her in dead serious and says, 130. And she kind of never asked him again.
I know.
It was like, that blew it. You know, that was it, you know.
She was like, I reached my limit. I'm good.
I have friends and colleagues who have behaviors that I would say they used to irritate me. And I say used to because at this point, I've come to the understanding that that's who they are. If I want to be in a relationship with them, that's part of the relationship, you know? And it's like I had my acting teacher when I was an actor. I had another colleague, another acting student. And one day she was really pissed off and said, I'm not calling him anymore because he never calls me. And I said, he never calls anybody. He doesn't call me either. I call him. If you want a relationship with him, you're going to call him. That's
it. This is part of it, guys, this, did you hit this? Certain things that irritate us about people, about relationships, I'm glad you touched on that. It goes along with that relationship. We're not talking about anything that's unhealthy or unhealthy behaviors, but there may be things that people do that irritate us. It's part of who they are. That goes along with the relationship. And I'm going to throw this in there. Nicole, my wife. We have a son in Texas, and he doesn't like to call very often. And she's now realizing that's just who he is.
That's right. Right.
And she's cool. She doesn't like it, but she's like, I'm cool. That's how he is.
Yeah. And if she wants to talk to him, she has to call him.
She comes. Oh my God, that's why I was laughing so hard, because I was just thinking, our son does that.
Yeah, yeah.
But kindness itself can almost be viewed kind of like a rainbow. I'm going to put up a picture here. Kindness itself can be almost viewed like a rainbow. Just like when we look at a rainbow, it has different colors. Kindness also has diverse acts. That range from generosity to active listening. What are some of these everyday parts of the spectrum that we can use to become more calm?
Okay, so you talked about active listening. So I'll give you two examples of that. Mm-hmm. So one is something I call intentional chit-chat. Okay, so you know, you're at the counter, the cash register, buying your groceries.
Right.
How you doing?
Right.
How you doing? Good. It's meaningless. It doesn't say anything. You're on the phone with the helpline. Okay, I have a problem. That's how you start out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're online at the grocery and you just look the person in the eye and said, "How's your day going?" It stops them for a moment.
Yep.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as, you know, where I learned that? Actually, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who we were living in New York. We were at the bank, and he's online in front of me, and he gets to the teller, and he says to her, "How's your day going?" And she was like, "What?"
Yep.
She was shocked. And then she kind of answered, and they talked for a minute. And I said to my friend, I said, "Where'd you learn to do that?" You know, and he said, "I don't know." And I started doing that. And if I'm on the phone, whoever I'm talking to, whether it's an airline or helpline,
the first thing I say
is, "How you doing today?" And I mean, they have this script. Fine, thanks, and you. But I know that it changes the direction of the conversation.
Of course,
On. So practicing that, we have so many opportunities every day to do that.
Every
single day. There's a number of times where we can practice that. And the tricky part is, if you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway.
Ooh.
Move past your feelings. In a different, not to say, "I don't want to do that, I'm going to do it. Hi, how's your day going?" or something like that.
Right.
"I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it." You think I felt like calling my father every day? Not at all. I had to myself do it. But it wasn't out of any irritation. It was like, okay, I'll do it. Once I did it, I felt better. And the same thing, talking to someone like that, it feels better. But here's an even stronger story like that. And this, I think we all know people like this in our lives. So I was on a plane coming from Europe, going back home. I was on the aisle, and there were two seats next to me, and there were two women there, an Asian woman, and then this other woman who's kind of special. And why special? Because she was looking out the window going, "Oh my God, there's my suitcase. I can see my suitcase." And she turns, "Can you see your suitcase? It's amazing. You know, this is the first time I've been on a plane." And she was like a 6-year-old in a 50-year-old body, you know.
Oh,
it was
wow.
A unusual. And then she says to the Asian woman, are you Japanese? I've never met a Japanese woman. And the woman's trying to read. She goes, "No, I'm Korean. I've never met a Korean woman either." On and on and on. And I'm thinking, 8 hours of that. Can you imagine? So sometime later, I turn around, and the Asian woman's gone. And the other woman, she tries to catch my eyes. And I just keep going, you know. No way. A little while later, a couple hours later, I turn around. The Korean woman's there. And I went, I just have to ask what happened. She said, well, she was driving me crazy. So I complained to the flight attendant and they put me in business class. And I said, okay, so why are you here? And she said, well, then the woman wanted her turn in business class. And I thought, oh my God, that poor person in business class. Another couple hours go by, I turn around and the other woman's back again. And this time she locks my eyes. But you know what? The minute I felt that, I felt myself pulling back, closing down. And then I went, wait a minute. So I kind of let it go and opened up a little, leaned forward, and I started talking with her. Okay, maybe we talked for about 5 minutes. And then I said, I'm going to go back to reading my book now. And she went, okay. But now, if you imagine that person, because like I said, we all know people like this. They're either really needy or they're wanting attention all the time, and you just like try to get away from them. So I would say that most people who engage with that woman are all pulling away.
Wow.
Imagine your life if every time you talk to someone, they were like trying to leave you. Right.
And their body language says it.
That's right.
They didn't want to be there. No one was leaning in.
That's right. And so, and now some people say to me, but yeah, you were on a plane. You know what? If you do that with someone in the office, they're going to think you're friends. And I said, I haven't found that to be true.
Wow.
I found that they're so grateful for that little connection again, that little time to be listened to actively, right? Giving someone your attention. And, you know, I can give you another example of it, which is a hard one. So this is like one of the practices in my book, So I told you about my dad calling him every day.
Correct.
So the exercise is 5 minutes a day. So what do you do? How many 5 minute blocks are there in a day? A lot, right? So can you give someone your attention for 5 full minutes? And most people say, of course, but you know what? It's not easy. I used to do it with my dog. And I'd be like 2 minutes into it, thinking, all right, check my email, do this. And my dog, luckily, he didn't
videos
have
a, on TikTok.
Yeah, my dog didn't have a watch, so he didn't, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. He knew dinner time somehow, but everything else, you know. And so even if you can't do 5 minutes, get 3 minutes a day. Or it's like I have friends who I call once a month. As one young man I talk to once a week, you know, and it's kind of like I have boundaries about it, you know.
Correct,
he wanted to talk more, and I said, no, let's just stay with it once a week. That's good for me, you know, to be able to begin, to be honest about this fulfills my needs. It's what I can do now, you know. And sometimes, and not infrequently, I set a limit on something, and then I go, you know, I could do more. You know where I find that a lot? When I make a donation somewhere.
By the way,
you were talking about the ripple in the pond.
You know,
and we don't know what that's going to do or who's that going to affect. The same thing is true because I've had experiences where I've had to fundraise.
And of course,
people who are giving don't really get that giving a dollar adds up. That it doesn't have to be $50, $100, $1,000. It's like people who are doing fundraising are really grateful for a dollar, 50 cents, you know, that's worthwhile like that. But then when we're giving something like that, what was I saying just before that? Remember? No. Who are you? What am I doing here? Wait a minute. No.
Oh, guys, hold on. You guys, hold on, everybody.
I know what it is. So that just listening to someone for a short amount of time is sufficient.
Correct.
We don't have to give all of our time to someone. And being able to, I know what it was. It was the limits of me setting limits on something, right? I can't tell you how many times I'm asked to donate money for something. And my first impulse is, I can donate that, you know, $20 or something, right? And then if I sit there, I almost always can go, I mean, if I really value the cause and stuff, it's like, I can give 50. That's my means. That's what I can afford. Right, if it's $1 to $5, that's already a lot. But to be able to give a little more is uncomfortable. But once we do it, there's a higher level of satisfaction of ease with ourselves.
Correct. Right?
Correct. Not patting ourselves on the back. It's an anonymous donation. It's something that, yeah, I did something nice there, you know.
And that ripple goes out.
Yeah.
That ripple goes out. And I can't, I want to say that because we never know who's going to feel your ripple today.
Right.
So they're practical. And when I put up that rainbow and said that, you know, kindness is on a spectrum. It's not just one. We tend to think if I just give something, I'm being kind. There are different levels of different ways to be kind. You said tough love is an act of kindness. Having an actual honest conversation or a tough conversation with someone is a kind act. It's like a rainbow. Mm-hmm. It has different colors on it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we equate kindness, as you said, to generosity and giving. And it's not that. Sometimes that kindness that someone needs to see may need to be that tough conversation. Sometimes that conversation, that kindness that someone needs to see might need to be that tough love. Sometimes that kindness that someone needs to see might need to be spending those 5 minutes with someone or paying attention to someone, two or three minutes that day. That is the spectrum. It has different variations to it. And if you look at that rainbow, I'm going to put that picture back up, guys. If you look at that rainbow, each one of these colors in this rainbow, they make the full complete picture.
Hey, do you know, Travis, do you see that's a double rainbow?
I do.
Yeah, I just saw that.
And it takes all the colors coming together to make the picture. It takes every act of kindness from all of us. So we can see it, so we can all benefit from it. And you said something. You said, you don't have to go wild with it, and that you just do, you're doing everything. Limitations. You have to have, you are kind, but you say, okay, I'm going to call you once a week. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever. But you're doing it where you're showing a kindness to yourself. Right. You didn't want to show kindness to the lady on the plane, but you leaned in.
Right.
And so kindness, and it turns out she lets you finish reading your book.
Yeah. Hey, now, you know what? I've got some bad news.
Oh, no goodness.
No, but it's not that bad.
What's bad?
It's that in my personal experience,
the
better I become at being kinder and liking myself more, the next level for me to get to being even kinder and liking myself more is a little bit harder. It's like the things in the book that I write about, I'm pretty good at doing all those things. I'm still learning a lot. You know, it's not like I'm not finished. Like the idea of liking ourselves more, that never finishes. That's always
You never
when someone says, I'm already kind enough. Well, that's a weird thing to say. I never, you know, that's
like, limit, right? Limit.
Yeah, I've done my kindness stuff, right? But the next steps for me, I found to be kinder, it's more of a challenge, you know? Can I read you something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is, it's not for me, actually. It's a quote in my book from someone else, and it's from Ram Dass.
Okay.
And he says... When you go out into the woods and you look at trees, you see all these different trees, and some of them are bent. You sort of understand that it didn't get enough light, and so it turned that way. And you don't get all emotional about it, you just allow it. The minute you get near humans, you lose all that. And you're constantly saying, you're to this, or I'm to this, the judgment mind comes in. And so I practice turning people into trees. Which means appreciating them just the way they are. So I love that quote. You know, I mean, that's great. But I can say for myself, that's for me like a big challenge. You know, so I fly a lot. I'm at a lot of airports all the time. And I think we all know the experience that we're looking at someone. We've never met them. We don't know them. We're not talking to them. And we make up a story about them. And it could be a positive story. It could be a negative story. So the tricky part is catching ourselves in that moment. But when I can catch myself, oh. Now, I thought, well, every time I would catch myself, to remember the whole quote was a burden. It was too cumbersome to do. But now, if I catch myself doing that, I just look at the person and I go, tree. And it's like everything dissolves. My whole story disappears.
Exactly.
And it's like, and that's like the everyday practice of it, you know. And then I'm more neutral with them, you know. And because look, when I'm making up a positive or negative story about somebody, it's usually a reflection of somehow something I'm feeling in myself.
Say that. Hold on. Stop the buzz. Right there. You and I talked about this before the show. We said a lot of times we reflect that on people we see in the everyday life, and we began to create those narratives about people. You just said it. It reflects on what we already feel or think about ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And if I think, if it's a positive story, like, where am I putting myself in relation to that person? If it's a negative story, am I like better than them, worse than them? I mean, it's like, it's weird what we do, you know? Yep. And it's like, we need to find a way of being comfortable with ourselves so that we'd be comfortable with others too.
Guys, I told you this was a good episode. I wasn't praying. Alan, in your book, Practice Intentional Acts of Kindness and Like Yourself More, you share everyday practices that a person can use to be more kind. What are some of the things that you share in your book? And I know you've already shared some, and I'm going to get your book up here.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah. So okay, let's look at a few things. So let's look at a simple one of being kind to ourselves. Okay? So if I ask people the question, where in your life do you experience pleasure? Where are you given permission to feel pleasure? Right? And people will say things like playing with my grandkids or something, or when I play my musical instrument or a sport, or if I'm dancing or eating, maybe. Some people say sleeping, but I don't really count that. Some people say sex. Some people say going for a walk. But you know what? If you ask each person to add up the number of hours in a day that they're actually finding pleasure in the things they do, I think they'd be lucky to come up with 4 hours.
Wow.
I think they'd be lucky. And that's not a bad number, but think about it. 24 hours a day. Maybe you sleep 8 hours, you got 16 hours, you pleasure for 4 hours, you got 12 hours. What are you doing with yourself? So one of the ideas in the book is to move in a way that you like the way it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that doesn't mean that you can't do that all the time. It'd be silly. But if you're in the office, every time you get up from your desk to go to the bathroom, just have a little note on your desk, pleasure. Move in a way that you like the way it feels,
right,
and then come
back
to it again. And the funny thing is, when we practice that, it adds up. It becomes something. It's like your grandchild. Your grandchild is always moving in a way he likes the way it feels.
Yes, right? Yes.
That's the guide for kids, is their state of comfort and ease. If I ask adults, when do you decide to get comfortable? You know what the most common answer is?
What?
When I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you think about that, that's a bloody crazy criteria.
Wow.
That means
you
have to be uncomfortable before you get comfortable, right? Now, you can catch it and go, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to get comfortable. But then if I'm comfortable, can I get more comfortable? Actually, usually we can. We can keep going in that direction of greater ease and comfort, or finding movement in a way which is always available to us, and and I'm not talking about dancing to the bathroom, right? I'm talking about just a quality of feeling that's like, yeah, this is pleasurable for me to move like this. I like the way that feels, and If we do that enough, it adds, you know, it really adds up. Or another example. So when I was 19, I moved out of my parents' house. And I had the realization that I wasn't good at anything.
Oh, I feel you there.
Yeah. But at 19, I wasn't old enough to be good at anything. You know, I was like, well, okay, but you know, what's the point there? And I thought about it, and I thought, I'm going to get good at one thing. And I, you know, I don't know where this came from, but the thing I picked was brushing my teeth. I didn't brush my teeth well. And the thing that was clever about that that I didn't realize was it was something that only I knew about. No one was checking in on me. Did you brush your teeth today or anything? If I didn't do it, I was left with my own internal problems and stuff. Maybe my dentist, but he knew already, so it didn't matter, you know.
Well, no secret there.
Right. Each day, and over time, I started to develop, like, I'm brushing my teeth well now. I got there.
Right.
You know? Now, there are two interesting things that came of that. One was that all the times that I didn't do it, that I skipped it, that I would sabotage myself with the same strategies I used in the other areas of my life where I sabotaged myself. So I started learning how I interfered with my life just from this simple act of brushing my teeth.
Wow.
And then
wow.
The other thing, which was kind of funny, I don't know, most people have had this experience. If you get an electric toothbrush that beeps every 30 seconds, and then you go, did I miss the beep? Like, this can't be 30 seconds. Because I think before I was brushing my whole mouth in 30 seconds, not 2 minutes. You know. So, again, more learning, more things to find out about. So things like that, simple, easy things. So it doesn't need to be brushing your teeth. Maybe I'm going to fold my clothes every night.
Correct.
You know,
correct,
I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to turn the lights out when I leave the room. That some things that you learn that they're not attached to any big outcomes. Because if we attach it to a big outcome, we set ourselves up for failure.
Yeah, then we're like, that's too much.
Yeah, that's right. It has to be something simple and something that no one else can evaluate us around. You know? So it's like if you live with someone and you're going to fold your clothes, don't tell them, I'm going to fold my clothes because they're going to come after you. Right? You just do it or don't do it. And one day they're going to go, I was living with someone who's, and she was very worried because her kids were real slobs. And I said, I've lived with messy people. I don't care about that. But I have to say they were exceptional. I mean, they would like leave the wet towels in the shower on the floor. And it was like, oh boy. So me, instead of saying anything to them, I'd just hang up the towels. And after about a month and a half, she said to me, did you tell the kids to hang up the towels? I said, no. I wouldn't do that. And she said, they're hanging them up. And I went, good, good. But they could just watch it and see that's learning from experience without being told the right way, the wrong way.
Right.
You should do something you shouldn't, you know. And that's accepting because if they never did it, that was my job then. Okay, I took that on. That's my choice, right? It wasn't my choice to show them something. It was my choice to feel more comfortable for myself.
That's correct. Correct. Yeah. Correct. Your book, Alan, this is your book, Practice Intentional Acts of Kindness and Like Yourself More. I like that. Where can someone get their hands on a copy of your book and contact you?
They can get it at Amazon, and it's a paperback. I like to say it's a Kindle, not a Kindle. Kindle, get it? Yeah. And it's also an audio. It's also an audio book. And then I have a website, practicing-kindness. That's another website. That's my Feldenkrais website. There's another website. Actually, can you scroll down on that?
Or is
that
just a photo? Oh, no. That's the website.
Yeah, see right there on the left bottom? Right, keep going down. There. Click on that. So that's the website for the book. See if we get there. Is it moving? But anyway, the address for that is practicing. There you go. It's practicing-kindness.com. And From there, you can get a free sample worksheet to give you an idea of what the book's about.
Worksheet right here?
Right there. And you can just sign up for that and get that today.
So I could type in my name.
Yeah, an email address, and it'll automatically be sent to you.
And put in my email address.
Phone number, you don't need to put in your company. That's it.
And it's hit send.
Yeah, and you'll get it in a few hours.
Cool!
Now, and to cut my, there's no contact information for me there, but the other website you pulled out is my email address, one of my email addresses, and you can find me there. And people should know that if you do write me and you don't get a response from me within 3 days, I didn't get it. I'm really fast on email, and I check my spam folder all the time. So it's easy to, you know, you should get a response from me for sure.
Fantastic. Ellen, thank you so much for sharing with us all today. Right there in France, guys. He's in France.
Bonjour tout le monde. Bonjour.
See, I can't speak French one bit, but somebody in France, if you speak French, tell me what he just said.
I said, hello, everybody.
Ellen, what is something encouraging that you would say to someone who may be kind of teetering on the fringes of becoming more kind or becoming more like everything else around them?
I would say one thing. I would say act. Don't wait for the feeling to act. Don't figure out the conclusions that will lead you to act. Do something. And I don't mean do something like the Nike ad, like do, you know, with that kind of aggression, but to do something, to plant a seed and watch it grow slowly, whether it's liking yourself more, kindness, that all of us can do it. I'm convinced of that. So do it.
I like that, guys. It takes courage to stand out from everything around us and avoid the temptation to fade in. Kind of like this picture of this red apple by the green apple. It takes courage to be the red apple in amongst of a bunch of green apples around us. It takes courage to stand out from everything around us and avoid the temptation to fit in. Becoming more kind to others can help us like ourselves more. Is it possible that the praise we want will come when we give praise to someone else? With so much going on and around us, and most just want to fit in, Kindness will help you stand out and truly become one of a kind.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for being part of the show today. Guys, Ellen, thank you for being here. Guys, it's about that time. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to everyone that's joining here. Guys, don't forget you can visit our YouTube page. That's coming to the good with a capital E. And as always, you can stream right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can stream on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and so many more. Guys, before we get out of here, don't forget you can pick up a copy of my book on Amazon, guys. Always inspire, practical ways to be inspired through this madness we call life. Or you can click on this QR code right here and get yourself a copy. Guys, we got to get out of here. But it's always imparting. Always, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I got to go. I can argue it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.